Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 7 and chapter 8, where we continue our journey through the book of Deuteronomy and see the children of Israel being reminded to not be afraid of the pagan nations they were coming against. On the same note, God wants us to not be afraid and to not lack in faith in His ability. As Pastor Dave expounds these chapters, we see that a lack of faith can often be remedied by having remembrance on the past and that all that God has done in our lives. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 7.
Which war against your soul, having your conversion honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. You are that. Israel of old was that also. So there's similarities here between the church and Israel of old. But Israel dropped the ball. Israel was called to shine brightly to the other nations, to egg other nations on in a desire for the living God, the God of the Bible, the great I Am, Jehovah. They blew it. They failed. So God put that mission in the hands of the church, you see. But He's not done with Israel. That's what the Great Tribulation is for, to deal with His people, you see. And anybody else who rejects Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Everyone with me. So in the meantime now, God has left the church on this earth to shine brightly, to be a city on the hill, to be salt on this earth, on this dirt, a ball of dirt that needs to have an impact upon it for Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We are here to do what Israel failed to do, and we are to shine so bright that others look at us and see God in us, not because we're special, not because we did anything, but because we are a chosen generation. Because we are a peculiar people. We are a purchased people by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That is why we are here. We are not here to build big houses. We are not here to drive multiple cars. We are not here to make our bank accounts grow and grow and grow. We are not here to climb the corporate ladder. We are not here to be famous. We are here to make Jesus Christ famous. And it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how long you've known Him. That's what your purpose is, Christian, tonight. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your skin color. You are on this earth to share Jesus with as many people possible until you take your last breath. Am I dissing those things? No. Am I against those things? Absolutely not. I like nice things. I like possessions, but I don't want my possessions to possess me. I want Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, to possess me and to have me fully in His hand to use me for His glory till my time is up. You are a chosen, special people, just like Israel of old. Now listen, these verses are wonderful because they apply to us. And I look at verse 7. Listen, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, Israel, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. You can fit 49 Israels in the state of Texas. Israel is about the size of New Jersey, if you want an equivalent. God says, listen, I didn't choose you because you're some powerful, dynamic group of people. It is not because you're some, you know, huge nation. That's why I chose you, because I thought, okay, now we can do this because there's so much strength in numbers. But because the Lord loved you, verse 8, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, that's why the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. It's because the Lord loved you. There's no reason. God loves you. Listen. God loves you, everybody in this church, hear me out. God loves you because He loves you. There is no reason for it, and you should rejoice in that tonight. Because if God loves you for a reason, if that reason ceases to exist, His love ceases to exist. That's some good news tonight. God doesn't love you for something you've done. God doesn't love you because of your behavior. God doesn't love you because you're so good looking. God doesn't love you because you're so handy and you're such an asset to his kingdom. God doesn't love you because you're so good compared to your neighbors. God simply loves you because he's sovereign and he's chosen to bestow his love upon you. That's it. There's no reason to it. But listen, because there's no reason, we have stability in his love. You see what I'm saying? If there was a reason for it, if there was a reason, God said, oh, I love you because you're my preacher. I love you because how good you look. What's going to happen when you get old and you don't look good anymore? What's going to happen if you get in a car accident and you're decapitated and your head comes off and you can't speak preacher anymore? You see what I'm saying? God's not going to love you because there was a reason behind it. That's human love. You love people and I love people because what we can get out of them. That's shallow love. God loves you because he loves you, period. Has nothing to do with you, and for that I give God a praise you, Jesus, because there is great stability in his love. If I'm bad tonight and I blow it, God's not mad at me. God still loves me. If I'm good tomorrow and I do really well and I don't cuss at all and I don't have any bad thoughts, that's never going to happen, but you see what I'm saying. If everything goes wonderful all day long, God doesn't love me any more or less. He loves me the same always because it's his love for me. It has nothing to do with me. What can separate us from his love? Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. What can separate us from his love? Let's look there. We know the verses, but let's read them. They're such wonderful verses. Romans chapter 8. If you don't know these verses, you got to know them. You got to mark them. You got to be able to find them. Because if you're a Christian, if you're a real follower of Jesus, you at times are going to doubt his love for you. There's going to be seasons where you think, there's no way God can love me anymore. I've blown it too many times. I've failed him in too many areas. I shouldn't be caught up in these things anymore. I shouldn't get tripped up in these things anymore. I'm a veteran in the faith. What do you mean you're a veteran in the faith? You're talking about eternal God. What's a veteran in the faith? You've been walking with Jesus for 50 years? He's eternal. He's the Ancient of Days. He has no beginning. You're a child. I'm a child. And God pities us knowing so. Who shall separate us, Romans 8:35, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, which means danger, or even the sword, execution? As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors through him that loved us. He loves us. For I am persuaded, Paul said, and my prayer tonight is that you would be too. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, speaking of our future. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you see that? There's nothing that can separate you. You can give him a round of applause. Don't be afraid of that. There is nothing that can separate God's love for you that is in Jesus Christ, his son. And you need to be reminded of that tonight. It has nothing to do with you. It simply has to do with his sovereignty choosing to love you. He loves you, not because of any reason, but because the Lord loved you back in Deuteronomy 7:8, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, as the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and he redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Do you ever meditate on that? Because that's your story, church. That's your story. You don't have a physical Pharaoh, and perhaps you didn't come out of the land of Egypt tonight. But the Bible uses typology quite a bit. A lot of the Old Testament pictures foreshadow the realities, the truths of the New Testament. And the New Testament is clear that before you came to the light, you were in darkness. And the god of this world, his name is Satan. That's your Pharaoh. You were a servant. You were a slave to sin and Satan. And then God just barged into your life. You didn't seek him one day because you thought, I'm going to seek God. You love him because he first loved you. He came after you. He came and found you. He knew where you were the whole time. He came and got you. He rescued you. And he snatched you out of the hand of Satan. He redeemed your soul. He led you out of Egypt, your world. And he is seeking to, or perhaps he already has, he's brought you into your Canaan, which is not heaven, but the spirit-filled life, the place of promises, the place of people appropriating the promises of God, living the spirit-filled life, the abundant life as we await our glory in heaven with him. That's your story tonight. How often do you meditate on these things? How often do you give God thanks for his love for you, for saving you? Instead of saying, God, do you really love me? Because if you did, I'd have a promotion by now. If you did, that would be my girlfriend by now. If you did, Lord, my child would come back to you by now. If you did, you would heal me by now. Listen, listen, listen. This is what you got to do. God, I'm blown away by your love for me. Because your word declares that you love me, God. While I was a yet sinner, you demonstrated that by dying on the cross for me. When I was at enmity with you, you gave your life for me. You snatched me from death. You snatched me from hell. You saved my soul. You took me out of the miry pit and you set my feet upon a rock. And I have a purpose now. I know the Creator. I know the Creator. I know what I'm here for. So many people don't know what they're here for. They're walking through this life blindly and sort of even aimlessly, and you have a reason to get up every morning. You know Jesus Christ. How often do you thank him for that and his demonstration of his perfect love for you? Greater love has no man than this, John 15:13. Then a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ trumped that. He laid down his life for his enemies. He loves you. He saved you. He didn't have to. He chose to. Know therefore, verse 9, that the Lord your God, he's God, the faithful God. Great verses tonight, right? I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through, but there's no shadow of turning in this God. So who he was to Israel thousands of years ago, he is to you and I today. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. This is his nature. He's a faithful God. What are you going through tonight? What's your story tonight? What did you come in the doors with? What sort of baggage tonight? What's the deal? What's your problem tonight? What is it that's got you tripped up and troubled tonight? Listen, it doesn't matter because this Bible study should be ministering to you. You've already learned in the opening verses that God loves you just because, and now you've learned of his nature. He's a faithful God. Not only does he just love you, but he's faithful to you. Let me read to you what this word means in the Hebrew. It's good to study. I've heard preachers today make fun of preachers who use the original language to describe the text. Listen, there's a great richness in digging up the original language of the text. I don't know what's up with these hipster preachers knocking pastors who are actually feeding the flock among them, but that's in case you didn't know what Jesus Christ called us to do. I'm here to feed you God's word, not to entertain you, not to make you laugh, and not to tickle your ears, to do the best of my ability to give you God's word as simply and as powerfully as possible. So part of doing that is breaking up words, giving you word pictures and definitions. This word here, faithful, let me share with you what it means. In the Hebrew, it's amen. Not A-M-E-N, but A-M-A-M, but it's pronounced the same. Amen. That's what this word faithful is. Let me read to you the definition, according to Strong's Concordance, of what this means when it says that he is a faithful God. If you're a note taker, if you've got a pen or a pencil, get it out. Write these things down. Mark your Bibles up. Mark your Bibles up or take notes. This word means this. When he says, I'm a faithful God, it means the word amen means to support. It means to confirm. It means to uphold. It means to nourish. It means pillars. It means supporters of the door. It means foster father. It means foster father. How precious is that? A child who has no parents, God says, I'll be your dad. A child who's been forsaken by worldly fathers and worldly mothers, the Father in heaven says, I'll take you as my very own. It means to be established. It means to be carried by a nurse. It means to be carried by a nurse. This is the God of the universe. The attention of detail that he has for you. How compassionate he is toward you. How he will deal with you and your wounds and how he will treat you and minister to you. He will do as a nurse would do to a wounded patient. This is the God that we serve. We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. This is magnificent. It means reliable and it means trusty. This is the God of the Bible. This is who he is. He is a faithful God to the umpteenth degree. The description doesn't even complete his nature, but this is just a tidbit of what this word means. This is who the God that you serve is. He is a faithful, faithful God. And even when, and even if tonight you are faithless, he cannot deny himself, the New Testament says. He will remain faithful. Even if tonight you're here and you think God doesn't love me, I'm not a special person, God's done with me, God's mad at me, God's not going to see me through this difficulty, this mountain that's before me, it's too great, I'm done, it's over. God says, it's okay, because I'm not dependent upon your faith. I am the faithful one. I'm the one who started this good work, and I'm going to be faithful to complete it in you. I don't believe in these faith teachers today who try to put a burden on God's people. Jesus said, come to me and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said these things. Listen, when I got a preacher or teacher, or that's what they call themselves, telling me that I don't have enough faith to see God move, now my burden's heavy and it ain't light anymore. It ain't easy anymore. Now serving God and following God is messing me up and tripping me up. If I think I don't have enough faith to see God move and work in my life, and that's why I find myself in difficulties and in a mess, that's a bunch of phony baloney. I don't believe in that. I believe that it's because of his faithfulness that I get to see his hand move at all in my life. He is a faithful, faithful God. Why are you cast down, David said, oh my soul? Place your hope, place my hope. Let's place our hope tonight in the living God. He's the living God who loves you and is faithful to you. And he keeps his covenant, middle of verse 9. And mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That's us tonight. You know that? That's us tonight. He keeps his covenant with us as his people tonight. He is going to be faithful to us tonight. He's going to be merciful to us tonight because he can't deny himself. This is who he is. This is who he is. And he repays, verse 10, them that hate them to their face. I like that about our God. He's not a coward. He doesn't, you know, throw cheap shots. He doesn't blind shot people. He does it to their face. People who are denying him and rejecting him and hating on him, he deals with them to their face. What does this mean? So they see it coming. So that they know what's going on. That's what this means here. To destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him, but he will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments, verse 11, and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore, verse 12, it shall come to pass, if you will hearken to those judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he has sworn to your fathers. And he will love you, he will bless you, he will multiply you. Who doesn't want to be signed up for these things? No, see, careful how I said it. I said, who doesn't want to be signed up for these things? Who wants to be signed up for these things? You want to be loved by the living God. You want to be blessed by the living God. Amen. You want to be increased by the living God. This is what he wants to do for you. This is what he wants to do. What I want to ask you tonight is this. Will you let him? Will you let him? Will you heed to his word? Will you obey him in such a way where he can open up the floodgates of heaven and bless you? He wants to. He wants to do these things. He wants to bless the fruit of your womb, middle of verse 13, and the fruit of thy land, the corn, the wine, thine oil, the increase of the kin, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware to thy fathers to give thee. You shall be blessed, verse 14, above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. This is to Israel. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, upon thee. Stop right there real quick. This is still to Israel, but there's application to us. It's amazing what you can prevent yourself from, the troubles, the diseases, the sicknesses of this world, STDs and sexually transmitted diseases and other things such as that, and things that alcohol causes and drugs cause. It's amazing what diseases and sicknesses you can be protected from when you follow after God and His Word. You don't have to be plagued by the things of this world and this life that those who are of this world and this life are being plagued by if you abstain from them. If you heed to God's word and be sober, instead of being drunk with wine, that you're filled with His Spirit, you see. If you would heed to His word, you would prevent yourself. You'll live a healthy life in that regard, as much as is in your control. Just like He says to His people of old. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? We bring so much of our heartache and pain upon us. So many times folks say, I'm in such a great trial right now, man. God, the burden of the Lord, man. Oh, I'm going through it right now. Really, what's going on? And they describe completely self-inflicted pain. So many times people's trials and tribulations are just self-inflicted issues that they put themselves in. If we would just heed to God's word, we could prevent so much of our troubles. I believe that. Not all of our troubles, but many of them. Carrying on, middle of verse 15 here. Which you know is upon thee, but I will lay them upon all them that hate you, the diseases. And you shall consume, verse 16, all the people which the Lord your God shall deliver thee. Thy eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you, and so it will be to you tonight. You hear me? That will be a snare to you tonight too. You start following after the gods of this world. You start bowing your knee to money. You start bowing your knee to sex, pornography. You start bowing your knee to alcohol. One out of every 15 people in this world that take a sip of alcohol become alcoholics. You know that? You start bowing your knee to the things of this life. You start just compromising a little bit. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. These gods of this world, these idols of this life, they will be a snare to you. God's giving you a heads up tonight. I don't know what you're engaged in. I don't know what you're involved with. I don't know what's creeping in and sneaking onto the throne of your heart. But Jesus is speaking tonight through His word. He's saying, don't go there.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.